Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, Harry, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it, and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, seat of wisdom, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will continue with the letters.
Letter number 71 to a priest, In Voluntate Dei. Most Reverend Father, the divine will brings you my wishes, though I am embittered down to the marrow of my bones. It brings you its rain of light and of love, such as to eclipse all your troubles and balm your sufferings, which unfortunately are painful, and to convert them all into sanctity and into acts of divine will. Oh, how happy would I be if my wish would become for you the bearer that transforms you completely into divine will. I kiss your right hand, and on my knees, I implore your paternal blessing, asking you not to forget to pray for me, the most abandoned one, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. You know, in few occasions we see letters sent to a priest. As we know, Luisa Picaretta, she was visited by many priests, and one of them was Father Anibal. And that's how he became basically friend with Luisa Picaretta, and he was able to understand the gift of the divine will and to promote it as much as he could. But not only lay people, but also priests, we see that she keeps correspondence with them. And when Luisa Picaretta in this letter, she mentions about the divine will being what eclipses everything, and she mentions all the troubles, and she mentions the divine will as the balm for all sufferings. It's not only for the priest, but for everybody, I will say, this message that this is what the divine will does. It transforms everything that a creature goes through, even sin, because it says that the divine will once is able to operate in the soul of the creature, then it basically keep us from sin. And he basically guard us from that. But it is through the acts. Luisa Picaretta says that the divine will cover everything and transform everything into acts of divine will. But what are the acts of the divine will, of the divine will acts? Well, when the creature is already invested by this gift and the creature has the desire to live in this way and to operate in this way, then the divine will is able to basically do everything in the creature. Last week, I mentioned a passage from Volume 35, March 12, 1928, and I said it would be good if you go and meditate and read that passage during the week. In that passage, our Lord also explains what happens with the creature when the creature allows the will of God to operate in her, and what the divine will does. In one of the paragraphs there, it says, "My daughter, the leaving of the creature in our will is our amusement, our enjoyment, our perennial occupation," basically our constant occupation. That word perennial, which really means the constant, without ceasing or without any gap. The divine will does not leave the creature. So you must know that as the creature unites to our volition and enters into it, our will kisses the human will, and the human will kisses our will. We ourselves love, pray, and ask of ourselves that our will may come to reign in the human generations. And here is something very, very important that I think we have to understand. It says, the creature disappears inside our divine sea like a little drop of water. So once we are filled with the will of God, then we become like that little drop of water that once it is mingled with the sea, you can no longer distinguish it. You are not a drop of water anymore. You are part of the whole sea. And it says, so we ourselves love, pray, and ask of ourselves that our will may come to reign in the human generations, the creature disappears inside our divine sea, like a little drop of water, and what remains is our prayer, which wants to invest everything with its power to obtain what we have asked of ourselves. We cannot do without answering our own prayer. So once the divine will operates in us, the human will basically consenting in union with the divine will, the person disappears, we can say. We become that drop of water that once it falls into the vast sea, then it cannot be distinguished anymore. It's part of the whole sea. And the Lord says what remains is the prayers, basically the acts. The creature becomes that occasion for divine will to operate, and then the channel, the bridge, the vehicle, in whatever way you want to see it. And it says it is our prayer, basically. We cannot do without answering our prayer. And what is it that the divine will first asks in us? Not that the creature be healed, that comes as a consequence of the divine will operating. All of this that Luisa Picaretta is mentioning in the letter, that it will eclipse the troubles, that it will be the balm of suffering, and all of this comes as a consequence because the primary purpose of the divine will basically is not to heal us physically. That comes as a consequence. The primary purpose for the divine will is to operate in the creature. The first thing it says, let me see, we ourselves love, pray, and ask of ourselves that our will may come to reign in the human generations. This is the prayer, and this is the prayer of all the saints. In other parts of the Book of Heaven, the Lord mentions that all heaven, this is the prayer of all heaven towards us, or the wish of all heaven towards the whole human race, that we are still here on earth. This is the prayer of all heaven for all the pilgrim church and the church in purgatory too, for the militant and the pagan church, that we may come and possess this gift. And then, of course, by possessing this gift, then one of the consequences of the effects of being filled with the divine will, of operating in the divine will, is what Luisa Picaretta mentions. Then that they will eclipse the evils, the troubles, the sufferings. And even if you go through difficulties and pain and illness, the Lord will assist you. But if you are really convinced and you really believe what the Lord Jesus says in the Book of Heaven, that knowing that everything will turn into acts of divine will, meaning that our Lord Jesus operating in us, basically repeating his life in us and using every single act for the good of everybody, then it's a different way of seeing illnesses and suffering and pain and all of this that Luisa Picaretta mentions. But I will say that this is the effect of what the divine will has in the soul. And the consequences we see. Then later on, we read in this passage, therefore, once we have prayed, we set ourselves on the way, wandering across all nations and through every heart to see if we find even a small disposition to live in our will. So once the divine will finds that creature, then it's able to pray for the gift of the divine will in that creature, and then it says it goes to another and to another. It is wandering all over, visiting every single heart to see if there is even the smallest disposition. Later on, it says, therefore, all that the creature does in our will is actually done by ourselves. We love, we pray. One can say that we commit all ourselves in order to give what we want. And it's impossible not to grant ourselves. Do you see what it means to live in our divine will? So he explains basically there what does it mean to live in the divine will, the effects, how it is that the divine will operates and all the effects. So later on, as you read this passage, he will explain more and more. And this is what we read last Sunday. And I asked you to go over and to look at that because I think this is a very important passage also, because it is the Lord Jesus himself telling us this is what it means to live in the divine will. These are the things that are necessary. And he mentions there even the small dispositions. So we need those dispositions in the soul. They have to be there. It comes when I read this passage, it makes me think about the gospel of the sower, that the sower goes and drops the seed. And the seed falls on rocky ground, the seed falls on different kinds, and it bears different percentages. So if our soul has those dispositions, the right dispositions, once we receive the knowledge of the divine will, and once we receive all these truths, each truth being one seed, he will talk about this in this passage. And every truth that we receive, every word that we receive about the divine will is like a seed that will grow and expand and expand and will bear much fruit. But it will bear the fruit according to the disposition of the soul. That's why it is important to have a sacramental life also. Because the sacrament of confession will prepare our soul. We have to ask the Lord to give us those dispositions and to create those dispositions in others also. So in that way, he can put in us all these new seeds of truth, of wisdom, of knowledge, of love, and understanding, and everything that God is, of beauty, of sanctity, and they will grow in us because God gives Himself. This is what He is giving. He's giving Himself. And He doesn't want to give anything else but Himself. And the more the creature disposes, the soul, her soul, to receive this, the more he will receive. And this is when the Lord talks about the divine lives, meaning that every truth that you receive is, think about this in the light of the Eucharist. For every host that is consecrated, he's present there in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Meaning that for every act that he is able to do in us, he's able to repeat his life because his life was divine, was human and divine. So he is able to repeat that divine action that he was able to do through his humanity. So our humanity becomes the means, the vehicle through which he can repeat that divine action that he did, human and divine, in his humanity. So when he talks about divine lives, meaning that he's able to repeat what he did in his humanity. And when, again, going back to the letters of to Luisa's letter, then all of this that Luisa Picarreta is talking about, that the divine will bring its light, its love. It will eclipse all the troubles in the creature. That's the effect of being able to be filled first with the divine will. So this is, in a way, a different way of looking at things, even a different way of looking in the way we pray. Sometimes we only use the prayer of petition. We pray because we want. And there is nothing wrong with that. We see in the catechism that the whole section 4 of the catechism, the last part of the catechism, is dedicated to prayer. And we know that there is a prayer of intercession, it's a vocal prayer, a prayer of thanksgiving, and all of this, but somehow we are used to focus a lot in the prayer of petition. And the Lord also encourages us to ask. Ask and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. We ask in the Our Father for the divine will to descend upon earth. But also in this way of living in divine will is being filled with the will of God. And once we encounter this union that the Lord talks about in this passage, that the human will kisses the divine and the divine will kisses the human will, and then he begins to operate. That kiss basically is the surrender of the human will to the divine will. Once that happens in the person, then the person is able to be filled with everything that God is, a little by little, through the acts and through the knowledge, and then God is able to operate all the wonders that He's talking about through the creature, and then the creature will be able to experience all of these things that Luisa Picarreta is talking about in the letter. As you can see, it's a process. It's not something that you just call and boom, you are there. It's no magic. And also, if you see in the passage, what is the first thing that, or the purpose for this union, is because God Himself is praying through the creature, basically, so that the divine will may be known to all generations. And once this gift is known by all generations, then the creature already has the possibility to unite herself to the divine will, because here also our human will is involved at every moment. This gift is not forced, but once the creature receives this gift and embraces the gift, then we can say that the purpose of creation, right, has been accomplished again in every creature that receives this gift. We can say that the purpose for our Lord Jesus to become man, to suffer, to die, and to rise for us, it has been now met. Because the purpose for our Lord Jesus to become man was not only to reconcile us, was actually to give us the gift, to reconquer us. Right? So let's continue with the next letters.
Letter number 72 to Mother Cecilia in Voluntate Dei. My good and reverend mother, now I feel the need to send you my Easter wishes. My mother, what wish can I send you? I know that crosses surround you. How many times you have to swallow bitter pills that make your heart bleed. It seems to me that dear Jesus surrounds you with these pains in order to give you strength. And with tender and loving voice, he says to you, my daughter, give these pains to me that they may form my arms, my heart, my steps, my whole life to be able to live within you. My mother, it is the crosses, the sufferings united to the divine volition that form the raw material so we may receive in us the life of Jesus, who calls our littleness to live in him and to rise in him. Here is my wish, my mother, to rise not only on Easter, but continually in Jesus, so that every pain and every one of our acts may be the means in order to rise in the one who loves us so much. I believe I could not send you a more beautiful wish, and I believe you will appreciate it, more so under the rain of unheard of crosses and profound humiliations. The storms give no sign of ceasing. Pray that he will make peace rise again from the storms, otherwise one cannot live. My sister tells you many things and sends you her affectionate wishes. In a special way, I send my wishes to Sister Remigia, that she may form her perfect resurrection in the divine will and use every act she does in order to grow in sanctity. We must be convinced not the great things make us saints, but the little ones, which we have in our power and which serve as the nourishment of sanctity. I commend myself to your prayers and leaving you rising together with Jesus. I kiss your right hand and with 1,000 regards united to my sister, I say, little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Let's go back to that notion that we were talking about, that instead of, we have to really look at the divine will more than a prayer of petition, but also more than a prayer of petition, a prayer of action, of thanksgiving. Because with everything that we do united in that will of God, then our Lord Jesus is able to basically do everything to compensate. And when Luisa Picarreta says, "Here is my wish, my mother, to rise not only on Easter, but continually in Jesus, so that every pain and each one of our acts may be the means in order to rise in the one who loves us so much." And then later on, she says that the only thing basically that we have is our acts as creatures. So if we look at this, then we see that it is only basically through the acts united with the will of God that the creature is able to remain in a constant prayer, fulfilling that call of that admonition of St. Paul to pray without ceasing. Because otherwise, you know, in praying in different times, which is very good, but we have to move to grow in the way we pray and in the spiritual way, growing in the divine will, meaning using every means. Not praying only when we pray the rosary, or not only being in prayer when we are at Mass, but at every moment through the union of our will with the will of God, then everything becomes a prayer. Then we are praying without ceasing. And every act becomes really a means to rise and even to be united with the one that loves us so much, which is Jesus, which is God himself. And here, the amazing thing about this gift that the Lord gives us is that it's everything. Not only the big things, but even the smallest thing counts. Even the smallest thing has value, tremendous value. In every little tiny act will help us grow in that original sanctity. Even the smallest act will help us to live in that sanctity and to make us saints. It will help us to make us saints, right? It will nourish that sanctity. And this is what happens also with the sacraments. Once we are in this union, the sacraments, they become the nourishment of that divine life operating in us. They become nourishment for the creatures, strengthening us in all that we do, and then basically experiencing that resurrection, because every new act that we do in that union of the will of God is not the act of the creature anymore, as we read in volume 35, but it is the act of the divine will in the creature. So it is an act, a resurrected act, basically. Why? Because it has the power to give to God. It has the power to give to the creature. It has the power to make the creature grow in sanctity. That's why it's a resurrected act. As, on the contrary, if we continue to act apart from the divine will, even though we do a lot of good and pious things, those acts, they don't have the power to rise up to God. So therefore, we cannot say that those are resurrected acts. They are still dead. They are still dead acts because they don't have the power to rise up to God. They don't have the power to give to God what is due to God. So it is only while we are here that we are able to basically operate in this way and to gain that merit. Once the creature goes to heaven, then there is no more merit, because then there you see everything. As in heaven, we don't need hope anymore. As Saint Paul tells us, we don't need faith anymore. We will only need love, to love God forever and perfectly. But then the creature will not have the merit that we have now. So our acts are the means to grow in sanctity. See, many saints, they saw, for example, and still is truth, the rosary is a means to grow in sanctity, in love, in charity, in faith, in hope. We pray for those virtues to grow in us when we pray the rosary. So the rosary becomes a means to grow in holiness. The sacraments, they become a means to grow in holiness. So every time you receive communion, it's an occasion for you, for the creature, to grow in holiness. But we cannot be receiving the sacraments 24/7. Right? We cannot receive the sacraments 24/7. But Therefore, we cannot receive that grace that flows from the sacrament 24/7, the creature. We can receive it constantly if we remain in the state of grace. And through being in the divine will, not only when we pray the rosary, we receive that grace and occasion to grow in holiness, but even at every single instant of our life. Because the simple blinking of our eye becomes an occasion of growing holiness, of giving thanks to God. The simple breathing, palpitating, the beating of our heart. All the human functions of our body, everything that is not sinful becomes a means in order for us to grow in this sanctity, which is the original sanctity that God desires for the creature, is the sanctity that our Lord Jesus possesses, the sanctity that the Blessed Mother possesses. Is the sanctity that belongs to all of us, basically by nature, we can say, by the eternal design of God. See, we see other spiritualities, those spiritualities, they help us grow in the knowledge of God, they help us grow in sanctity, but it is only in this divine science that we encounter the true sanctity. The other sanctities, they are given to the church and they should lead us to find this sanctity. Once we find this sanctity, then basically all those sanctities, they are left behind. They become the old wineskins, and this is the new wine. This is the new wine, right? So, we must convince that not the great things make us saints, but the little ones. That's why it is in this way of living everybody can become a saint here. This spirituality, this way of life is for everybody. Because it's not only for those who can do great things. It's not only for those who are able to go and do missions far away. It is for the mother at home with the children in the daily work. Those little things that may go unseen, but one day you will see how much value they possess. This way of living is for everybody. Because we have in our power, Lisa Picaretta says, and they serve us as nourishment for sanctity. So that's why we have to keep reading a little by little. We have to keep growing in the knowledge, understanding of this gift, and just let the Lord do His work in us, because at the end, He is the one who is doing it. We just have to consent. How do we consent? When we say yes, when we make time for Him, when we dispose ourselves. And then He will give us the light that we need to understand and as we go through difficulties, He will also give us the strength. because we become the vessels of the divine will. So that's why also St. Paul, I think he will say that we carry in ourselves this, in these fragile vessels, this great gift is the gift of the divine will. In the previous passage, the Lord says something like something that I think will help us to understand how even the saints, the angels, they rejoice when they see that creatures here on earth, they possess what they already have in heaven, but that they are able to see now. Basically, that this gift that Adam possesses now has returned again. The Lord says, "The heavens are amazed, and the angels and the saints remain static. All feel a new life flowing within themselves. By virtue of the act of abandonment of the creature, basically by us abandoning ourselves in the divine will, even the heavens, they feel themselves static." And this is very important. All feel a new life flowing. We go back to the notion of these divine lives, of this energy, of this love, of this rejoicing, of this eternal joy going through the angels. We saw what Luisa Picaretta says is what Luisa Picaretta says that happens in the soul. So basically, the effects of the divine will operating in the creature here on earth. Now we can say we can see the other side, the effect that the divine will operating in the creature has in heaven, in those in heaven. So we can see both sides. And it says, "The heavens are amazed, and the angels and the saints remain static. All feel a new life flowing within themselves by virtue of the act of abandonment of the creature. While still a pilgrim." And finding here abandoned in our fiat, we find that we can do whatever we want. She lends herself completely to our power. This idea of lending, allowing, that's one of the dispositions that we need to have. So we begin the work and form in the soul many little fountains of love, goodness, sanctity, mercy, and so on. So basically, enumerate all the attributes of God that we don't even know. So all of these attributes of God, they start basically popping up as little fountains in the soul when the soul operates in the divine will. And that's why the angels, the saints, all they feel this new life overflowing in them. In this way, when our love wants to love, we set those little fountains of love in motion with our omnipotence, with our omnipotent breath. And she loves us, letting so much love overflow from the fountain. And this love basically floats the entire celestial cord. When we want to use goodness, mercy, or grace, we set those fountains in motion, and the earth remains flooded by our goodness and mercy, and some are covered, so receive the graces. So, see, it's the creature letting, allowing the divine will basically make its home in us. Or putting it in the words of the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, the creature letting the divine will rest in the soul. Right? Letting God rest in the soul. Basically, repeating that action that God did at the end of creation. In the seventh day, God rested. Where did he rest? He rested in the soul of the creature. This action has to be repeated. The creature basically spelled the presence of God from the soul, departed from that. Now, the creature, by allowing the divine will to enter again, God comes and he rests in the soul of the creature once more. This happens in baptism for the first time. And in confirmation is being complete because we receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But what separates us again from that union is sin. So that's why the sacrament of confession is important in living in the divine will. Because then we dispose ourselves, and it will strengthen us to continue walking in this path. It will nourish. It will vivify in us those acts already done in the divine will in us. It will have in us the same effect that we see that it has in the creatures. The soul will feel a new life flowing within itself. And I'm saying the soul because we are not able to feel it through the senses. But once we receive absolution, the soul is able to receive this new life, this new divine life. So the soul is being overflowed, floated with so much grace, and we don't see it. I think if we were able to see it, we will explode or die out of joy. Our heart will just burst out of joy. So, as an act of mercy, God doesn't let us feel that because we will just explode out of joy, of happiness, because this new life, right, flowing through us. So now we see that this way of living also has some effects in heaven. The Lord says we could do all this directly by ourselves, but we feel more delighted and pleasing in us, right? In pleasing in using the founts which we ourselves have formed inside the creature. So it is again, it is God working in us. It is not us doing. Through her, we feel more moved to use our mercy towards all. We have our intermediary between heaven and earth, who in her abandon makes us pours graces and makes us love all the creatures with new love. Therefore, the more you abandon yourself in our will, the more magnanimous, the more generous we will be towards you and towards others. So basically, no need for us to ask, right? To ask for this and that because there is already there. I mean, you can ask, yes, but that should not be the first purpose because the first purpose is that the gift may be known, that God may receive the graces, and we know that He will take care of the rest. So we are human and everything. We still are in this body. I'm not saying don't ask, don't pray for healing, don't pray for recovery. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that should not be the first purpose. And it says, and all, alas, the more disposed will find new strength and new guidance. The creature, the more disposed we are, we will find new strength and new guidance. So, let's see. Maybe we can leave it there for tonight. And then we can go to some questions after the closing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Seed of wisdom, pray for us. And may the blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.